Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
So welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God and the keys to the Kingdom, and we're talking about Revelations and the Mark of the Beast and the Mark of the Image of the Beast, because there is a beast, and then there is an image of the beast, something that looks like the beast. This entire book of Revelation is actually composed of a lot of revelations. It was written a long time ago. And it was written rather cryptically, more cryptically than the parables, which Christ used to impart to you elements of the truth, kind of a picture of the truth, without telling you exactly what he meant. And sometimes he's specific, but you actually need the revelation of God to understand what he is trying to say. And he is cryptic for that reason. It is given unto some to know, but not given unto others. And without that revelation, you really won't know. So even if I could tell you what every single thing meant, it still is not revelation. So it still is not where you want to go. You want to go where there's revelation. And there's revelation where the Spirit is given room to dwell. You need to have room in your heart for the Spirit to dwell within you. That means you must repent. That means you must forgive that you may be forgiven. That means you must move in the direction of God, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we were talking about Revelations in Revelations 14:11, where it talks about torment ascendeth up forever, smoke of their torment. But the word torment is actually the word for testing. So it's the smoke of their testing that goes up time and time again. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast. Who worship the beast have no rest. And we talked about that word rest being loosening specifically from their labors. They are given more and more burdens because they have this mark of the beast where they are compelled to bow down and serve the beast. And they have come to this because of covetousness. And who worship the beast, because that first part is one statement, then they say, who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name, the mark, the charagma, the badge of servitude. That's what that word means. Mark means a badge of servitude. And he will be forced to serve, to labor. Then there will be no rest from his labor, and his labors will increase, increase, increase. And how is this so? If beasts are government, how do you labor for those governments? You labor by going out and working and paying taxes. And he can compel those taxes. He has a right to compel those taxes. And he has a right to increase them. And he has that right because you gave him that right. God did not institute governments. Cain instituted government. God instituted the family. God instituted the church. But the church is a government, one form of government. We've covered that. But it does not exercise authority one over the other. Its sacrifice, its benefaction, its benefits are the result of love. You see, so the heartbeat of your society is the way in which you take care of the needy of your society. And if you are not doing that through love, but doing it through force, then the spirit of the beast will dwell within you. You can say you accept Jesus, but the spirit of the beast will dwell within you. And the fruits of the beast, which we see listed in Samuel 8 and lots of places in the Bible, will be the fruit that you bear and your society bears. And the burden that you bear. And so there's going to become a time of testing. That time is usually when the beast systems begin to decay and fall apart and crumble, and there will be a test, a torment, a difficulty. And you will have to sacrifice more than you are already doing, because you'll have to pay your tally of bricks to the beast, but you will also have to glean in the field at night for your benefits, and you have to become the benefactor of your neighbor, who does not exercise authority. This is quite a challenge. But some of you will meet that challenge, and the smoke of your test will go up and be an accepted sacrifice. It won't be enough. You'll still be saved by grace, but it will be an accepted sacrifice because God will know that your heart is really after seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So therefore, we see in Revelation 14:12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. What were the commandments of God? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not bear false witness. In other words, if you make an agreement, you keep that agreement. But also, thou shalt not covet. And this is what Jesus said you must do, is keep those commandments if you want eternal life. You're not going to be able to keep them perfectly, but that must be what you are striving to do. The commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, Christ summed up all the commandments into simply love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. The word patience in this Revelation 14:12 is from hupomone, which means steadfast, constancy, endurance. He who endureth. You know, this is an idea that Christ is including in his gospel. It's not about he who thinks a thought. It's about he who endureth, perseveres, strives. And that shows us that you have the fruits of repentance, because you can't keep doing that. This is how you become the unstoppable church, is you make a commitment to that. If you read in Revelation 13:11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So this other beast has these two horns, and we won't talk about who this is, because we're going to look at the principles. Once you look at the principles, you can apply this anywhere in history, because the same principle will apply generations after generation. It will culminate into singular big events eventually, but it's the principle and the precept that you want to instill in your heart, so that in principle and precept, you can also follow the ways, the path of Christ. And follow Christ. Follow him. So anyway, it says the beast comes out of the earth with these little lamb's horns, rather than coming out of the sea. So the coming out of the earth, the coming out of the sea, they're actually talking about jurisdictions there. They're not actually talking about coming out of the water. They're talking about coming out of the law of the sea, and another one out of the law of the land. That's right, because these are realms. These are jurisdictions. These are ways in which people relate to the world. If these beasts are governments, it could be presumed that the difference between rising from the land versus rising from the sea could have to do with the law of the land and the law of the sea. And of course it does. But again, don't forget, we're looking at the spiritual principles. So we're not excluding this to mean jurisdiction. Because then you'll think that if I get out of this jurisdiction, I'll be saved. No, if you get out of the spirit of that jurisdiction and into the spirit of the jurisdiction of Christ, then you will be saved. You cannot conjure up that salvation by what you do. But what you do is evidence of where your heart is at. That's why I find it so interesting when people, I am approached all the time, because I talk about the law and about the systems of social compacts that bring you into bondage. People think, well, in that book, it's all about how to get free. No, it isn't. It's about how you got enslaved. How you get free is repent and seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But they don't want to seek the kingdom of God and righteousness. They just want to seek freedom. Well, I can't help you. You know, what I write is not going to help you. I'll probably get you into trouble if you try to approach it from that point of view. You must approach life with the character of Christ. You must come with the intention of serving, not being served. Now, most people are not schooled in these classic forms of jurisprudence. They don't understand law of the sea, law of the land, jurisdiction. They don't even know what these words mean. Jurisdiction, juris, is from the Latin word law. Diction is from the Latin word speak. You speak the law. You create the law by what you say, what you agree to. Agreements make the law. And one of the most common Latin idioms I have found amongst the writings of the United Nations is pacta servanda sunt. Agreements must be kept. And this, of course, is no different than Christ. You cannot bear false witness. If you agree, you agree. You are bound by your agreements. I mean, Peter just said something. He was bound by what he said. He gave them jurisdiction by what he said. Well, you certainly give jurisdiction by what you sign and what you agree to. And the fact is, you may not have any choice but to sign, because you cannot neglect your family. The reason you don't have any choice is because the church is not doing what the church used to do. Because the early Christians had a choice. For simplicity here, we will just say that the law of the land is based on the Mosaic law, or the common law, or the natural law. The law of nature, and nature's God. While the law of the sea could include admiralty law, commercial law, equity. These are all following a certain systems of jurisprudence. And equity in some writers like Bigelow doesn't even consider it to be law. It winks at the law. It's like the law. But it's really the result of the law of contract. Contract makes the law, another idiom. The law men establish for themselves. This is what these laws are. And of course, God had law to begin with. In the garden, there was law. The law of nature, nature's God. If you do these things, these things will happen. But Cain went out of the presence of God, and he made his own law and his city-state, his civil law, Roman civil law, are the same systems of jurisprudence. But Rome was once a common law nation as a republic, but it moved more to civil law, conducting and controlling every aspect of life. We have done the same thing, history repeating itself. And it should be that way for those who are not following the ways of Christ. This is the way they're going to go. And what we need to do is turn around and start going the ways of Christ, and that will change us. It will change the environment around us. It will even eventually change the jurisdiction of our lives. And this is one of the most frightening things to those who serve the beast, is that you will become free. They don't want you to become free. But you can't become free by jumping through legal hoops. You can only become free by being purged of the spirit of the beasties, of those who want to oppress others for their own benefit. You must be cleansed of that spirit. You must be baptized of that spirit. You know, John only baptized with water, but Christ baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire is what? Something that tests you. Well, are you ready for the test? You know, put your books away. Get ready for the test. Those lamb's horns that they talk about, they could denote the original authority was small. Lamb's horns are very small. I happen to notice we have a bull steer. And when we branded most animals, we branded them out with other animals out on the church property, which is just a handful of animals that we have that we care for here. But we have a dairy cow, and she had a bull calf, and we castrated it. But we weren't where we could brand it and cut its horns off. So I noticed it's got horns coming out. And normally you would cut those horns off, because this is being raised up for beef. If you don't cut those horns off, they'll grow and they'll poke each other when they're in a pen. Now, our cows out on the range, they're dealing with bobcats and mountain lions and coyotes. We leave the horns on them because that gives them an edge. But when those horns are first coming, they're very little. They're little lamb's horns, little buds. They're not frightening at all. But they can grow. And with horns representing authority wasn't very much at the beginning, but now it has grown. So where have you seen that? Where have you not seen that in the governments of the world? Have their authorities grown or decreased? You see, once you step in the direction of giving power, you know, back when Saul was elected king and appointed by Samuel, Samuel said, this is what he's going to do. He's going to start out, he's going to be really nice and cool and all that stuff, but then he's going to take it. And eventually you're going to cry out. Because you started down a row, you rejected the direction that God wanted you to go in, and decided to go in another direction. And you can't do that. But you did do that. So now what do? You have to repent and start going back to the other direction. You can't jump all the way back in an instant. You have to just start moving that way. And that's good. Because you can start moving that way step by step. Baby steps. So we see in Revelation 13:12. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast. Then we're talking about the image of the beast. So there's a first beast and there's a second beast, which we call the image of the beast. Similitude is like first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So if the first beast was Rome, then is the second beast Rome too? You know, like World War II, Rome too. Or Rome too, T-O-O also. His deadly wound was healed, and he becomes like Rome. Now, if you've listened to the other show, you already see that there's a similitude in governments of the world. You know, a number of years ago, most people were in governments that consisted of a king. And in the 1700s and 1800s, much of that changed throughout the world as a result of what America did. America threw out the kings, and then they had presidents. They didn't have kings. And the king and the presidents had very little power. I always thought it was interesting that if you called the White House under Grover Cleveland, he sometimes answered the phone. That's how small the power was in the government at that time, that the president would actually answer the phone. But the presidency of the United States has grown in power, same as with other countries, whatever government they have. I'm not picking on the United States. I'm just saying that that's historically what has taken place. They've gotten more and more power. But the reason why is because we have not been following the ways of Christ. And we owe the presidency an apology because we have tempted it with power. Power tempts. And like Satan himself, we have tempted these rulers by giving them more and more power. And we should be ashamed of ourselves. And we should apologize to the government. We're sorry we did that. And they have gone into debt, and so they have brought us into the bondage of debt. But it is not their fault as much as it is our fault. And unless you approach it from that point of view, you may not see the next part of the revelations. Because we should have known better. And we were born a little selfish, and we didn't see. But now we need to open our eyes so that we do see, and others around us see. Because we have to care about others as much as we care about ourselves. It's an essential ingredient in the recipe for liberty. Now, numerous people interpret the beast as the Roman church, who was wounded at a particular point in time. They have several different places where they look at it, and then recovered. Amazingly, they also interpret the Roman church as the harlot. So how can you be the beast and the harlot? It seems that it cannot be both. The beast at the time of the writing of St. John's Revelation was clearly the Empire of Rome. The image of the beast is not a matter of location, but the nature or characteristic or the precepts of a particular institution that we might call the government. Is it similar? In Revelation 13:13, we see, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Revelation 13:13, describing the image of the beast who had healed. Now, the beast could not make fire come down from heaven in the sight of men, but the image of the beast could. So there's a distinction. Now, remember, what was the beast in the previous show? We talked about the beast being Rome, and what was Rome? You know, how many emperors said, "I am Rome"? Because they were the imperator, the commander-in-chief of Rome, head of the army and the navy. You see, but the army and the navy don't make fire come down from the heavens in the sight of men. Somebody else might have that power. You tell me. You know anybody who has the power to make fiery things come down from the sky in the sight of men? Even from outside the atmosphere, maybe? You know, maybe send a rocket up into the upper atmosphere and then come down with a fervent heat melting everything about you. You know, it's not clear. I'm not saying it's this way or that way. I'm not going to tell you. I'm just saying these are possibilities. You tell me. You remember, this is written cryptically because they don't want you to think you got it because you figured out exactly what he was talking about, because he's actually talking about spiritual principles here. And there will be a physical representation of it. You know, like there is a real chip. But the chip is not the problem. The chip is the symptom of the problem. Problem is that you have a home in you for little beasties to devour your neighbor, to take a bite out of your neighbor. And those of you who listen to some of our other shows, I've shown you in the New Testament where they talk about taking a bite out of one another, cursing one another, devouring one another. And if you go back to the Old Testament, you see it there too. This is a common thing. And how do we do that? We give ourselves over to the spirit of covetousness instead of the spirit of forgiveness and service one to another. And the first thing you have to do is get people to stop practicing the ways of God. You see? Because that's an essential point. You're not saved by what you do, but by practicing doing righteousness, you are drawn near to God, because to practice it requires sacrifice. Your sacrifice is not enough, but it will draw you to your Father. It will get you to leave the pig farmer and head back to the Father. You see, that's a principle. So if he gives you 2 talents and you use them, he will give you more. If he gives you a talent and you don't use it, he will take it away from you. So apply that to these ideas of the kingdom. One distinction between the beast, as I said, and the image of the beast in the latter days, is that he can make this fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. And the emperor was the commander in chief, but he couldn't make fire come down from heaven in the sight of men, because he was only commander in chief of the army and the navy. Now, every government in the world almost can make fire come down. Some can do it, you know, ballistically, but some can only do it with airplanes or helicopters or what have you. Or maybe they have rocket launchers and they can do that. So is that what they're talking about? You tell me. What is the Spirit telling you? You know, what is speaking to your heart? But remember, again, we're talking about principles, precepts. Precepts of what is righteous and not righteous. You know, if you go read Rome versus Us, which is one of our articles on the website, you'll see that the similarities are uncanny. The similitude is uncanny. In Revelation 13:14, we see, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles," those great signs and wonders, "which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live." So if we go back to Nero, he had a wound by the sword. He may not have even died. He was believed to have been wounded, but did not die. But you could also take it to correlate it with Rome itself. Rome decayed and fell, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. But it was wounded by the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, but it didn't really die out. If you go back to Charlemagne, they had pulled up these books that was telling how the Roman Empire worked, and they were studying it and tried to reinstitute it. It didn't work very good. He was constantly driven back to his castle every winter. But eventually there rose up someone who crowned kings like Charlemagne all over the world, and they put down those who would be free, and brought people under the subjection of these crowns, these men, crowned by someone who claimed to be serving God. Isn't it the job of the church to crown every man head of his own household? To crown every man to be king in his own castle? To be high priest of his own family? Isn't that the role of the church? To set you free? Because that was the role of Christ, to set you free, not to bring you into bondage to some centralized Saul, or Cain, or Nimrod, or Pharaoh. We're just to be setting you free. And we can't do that unless we provide the services of Pharaoh and Rome through faith, hope, and charity. We have to do it through faith, hope, and charity. We cannot do it through force. We're not that kind of government. We're the government of love. But if we lull you to sleep in your churches, and then when you actually need real help, we don't help you. We send you to the men who are benefactors to exercise authority. We are not the church. We become that impotent church. just about everyone on the earth is deceived today. And what I've just told you is completely contrary to what you're commonly going to hear in your modern churches, because they're under a strong delusion. What helps bring about this deception are the miracles, the great signs. Are those miracles yet to come, or have they already deceived us? We have television, computers, modern medicine, the power of flight, power to go into space. Some say these are miracles and would be appeared as miracles if you were looking at them through the eyes of men back in those days. The word Simeon is defined as a sign, a mark, a token. It is translated sign some 50 times and it is also translated miracle only about 23 times. In this age of modern miracles, could we have been deceived? Where the image of the beast? Do we have, or have we given it power by looking to its miracles, its tokens, its signs, its marks that grant us benefits that we love? In Revelation 13:15, we see, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, we're going to look at that when we come back. What does he mean, should be killed? You mean like, you know, guillotines chopping our heads off? We already got our heads chopped off. The heads of the family are already powerless. But what does the actual Greek say? And we're going to take a look at that when we get back.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. In Revelation 13:5, we see this phrase, power to give life unto the image of the beast. The words power to give is from didomi, and simply means to give. The word life is from pneuma, which is the word translated into spirit, to give a spirit. You know, when you look at one of the prophecies of these four beasts, and there that one of them is like the spirit of an eagle, and it has wings in the front and wings in the back, four wings, and it has wheels underneath, and it rolls around on these wheels, and it has a crystalline dome on top with a man inside. Now, I don't know what image that would conjure up, but if somebody was telling me that in 600 AD, I wouldn't think of a jet airplane wheeling around on a carrier deck. Because when this eagle goes up in the air, the wheels go up into its belly. And if you look up its tail, you see a fire like a furnace. And when you hear it go by, it makes the sound of many waters. I don't know. That sounds to me like a jet. That sounds to me like a jet that you see do that. But it could be just a coincidence, right? Right. It could be a coincidence. What's your heart tell you? So anyway, when they're looking at these prophecies and they're describing it with the terms of the time, you need to look closely at those terms of the time. But you're not going to figure this out by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You may figure out some stuff, and you may be very clever in the way you do it. But you need to put on the armor of God. You need to have the cleverness of God. You need to have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. So when they talk about that which is, it would be translated into the Spirit, it says, it is the beast out of the land which, with its little horns of authority, that really gives life and force to the image of the beast, which is not a single country or nation, but it is a whole world of government that operates according to the spirit of the beastie, by force, by control, by taking away your natural liberty and imposing its will upon you, where you must bow down and serve. Those who will not pay homage to the image of this beast are supposed to be killed. But is that really what it says? There are many words for killed in the Greek. Thuo can be translated killed, but it is usually used in the context of sacrifice. Phoneo is translated killed and murder, and it is from a word phonos, which means to murder, and it appears in the text. Thanatu is also translated killed and does mean put to death, but then another word, aner, also is translated killed, slay, and put to death. Each word can have a different meaning or use, but they are not the words that were used here in this Revelation 13:15. In Revelation 13:15, we see the word apokatino, which means to kill in any way whatsoever, to destroy, to allow to perish. The words should be are from hina, which means in order that. So that word should be is from hina, in order that you may perish. Not overtly kill you. Now, they may, But that isn't really the message that the author was trying to convey. He would cause it that you would perish in order that you might perish. Because the word apo means of a separation, and the Greek apoketino means more that they would be allowed to die or to perish because of this separation, this exclusion during the test in order that they might perish. So let's take a look at how that might play out. What if there were hard times? What if there was a shortage of food? And they went to rationing food, and you couldn't get food from the stores anywhere without the ration tickets, and you couldn't get the ration tickets without the mark. You might die. Now, does that mean you should run out and start stocking up beans and rice and food and hoarding that food? Well, it could mean that. It might be a plan, but there might be laws against that. And then it also makes you a target. But it might be what God wants you to do. Maybe God wants you to do that. You need divine revelation to know what God wants you to do. Because what you decide to do on your own based on the knowledge of good and evil, that's where you got into trouble to begin with. So how do you get that revelation of God? Stock up on beans? Stock up on wheat? Rice? Grain? No. That's not how you get it. You serve others. You be like Christ. You come to serve others. You come to save others, not save yourself. That isn't the spirit of Christ. That's the spirit of Satan. How will you hear Christ if you fill your life with the spirit of Satan? The adversary. You see, you want to know what salvation is about. It's about laying down your life so that you may have life more abundant. He's not kidding. That's not a joke. It's not just idle talk. It's not just sounds good up in the pulpit. It's what you have to be doing. Revelation 13:16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free or bond, to receive the mark in his right hand, in upon, within. Doesn't mean injected. Just he's got to receive this karagma, this badge of servitude, that you have this badge of servitude in your hand. Or in your forehead, this number of the beast that he's given you, that you have to have that or you might die. You might be excluded. You know, so that's something to be considering. That's what he's talking about. But you're okay, right? Because you're connected in a international community of pure religion, where you already take care of all the needy of your society through faith, hope, and charity. And you meet every week, and those of you who have share with those that do not have enough. Right? You're already in that network of Christ's holy church. Right? You're not? Oh my gosh, you're in trouble. You met it. You know what? You need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to start heading back the way Christ said to go. Because we know, and it says, and he causeth. What? What does he cause? He causes to receive. He causes you to receive. Causes is from poio, meaning to make, as in to be the author of. Make ready or to prepare. It is most often translated do. Receive is from Dudomi. So he causes you to receive, which means simply to give or to give something to someone of one's own accord, to give one something to his advantage, to bestow a gift, to grant, to give to one asking. You have to ask. Let have supply, furnish, necessity of a thing, something. To be administered. So this is what this is all about. This receive is that you are going to receive some sort of gift or grant or gratuity or benefit. And he causes you to get that. And you have to get that. And then you will have to bow down and serve him because you have applied for his benefit. It's that simple. You know, forget about the chip. That's the symptom of what you've already done. What, are you going to repent of the chip? No, you got to repent of the spirit of the beast. They coveted his neighbor's goods for his own personal gain and benefit. Christ didn't come for his personal gain and benefit. He came for your benefit. Do you go to church for the benefit of others that are there? I go to church because I like the music. I go to church because I like the sermon. I go to church so to feel good. Oh, well, that isn't why you're supposed to be going to church. Although the English word that causes to receive may give the idea of force, the Greek text does not support such an interpretation. In this verse, the original text gives the idea of an offer, a gift, a grant, of a benefit, and the lovers of reward suck it up as a result of asking and applying, not according to compelling. And not that he's going to kill you, but that he will let you die if you don't participate. And all you need is shortage. This is what went on in Rome. Shortage of grain, famine. People were starving, and they were saying, you need to swear by the emperor who provides us with these benefits. And they said no. And we have apologists writing the emperor in 150 AD saying, no, this is, we gather once a week, and those of us who have share with those that don't have enough. That's it. That's Christianity. That's not what you guys are doing, but that's what you could be doing. But you need to start moving in that direction. When you get baptized with us, you don't just get wet. We don't even care if you get wet. We will do it as an outward sign. We need to see you change direction, because that's what repent means. You see, when they were baptized by Constantine, he just said, get baptized. He didn't say repent. Turn around, do something different. He just said, get baptized. Does right hand mean that it is okay to receive the mark in your left hand? Right hand is from dexios, which is an adjective that is translated right hand 39 times. It's translated right 12 times. It's translated right side twice. It can mean the right or the right hand. Or the right side. Are you on the right side? But it is commonly used as a place of honor or authority. Note that this word is from dekomi, which is also means receive, take, and accept. You see, he offers, but you have to accept. You have to choose to take. You have to apply voluntarily. And then apply for the benefit voluntarily. And the fact is already people can't hardly live without some sort of benefit from an authoritarian government. In most countries, half the people need those benefits, so they probably couldn't survive. Because they need that mark to prove that they're eligible for those benefits. It's already here. It's just getting tighter and tighter. And I'm not going to tell you probably in this show, because we're not probably going to get around to it. You know, this is the 13th show, but it'll probably be in later. Well, we'll show you how far this has really gone. We'll show you in the laws of the world, in the governments of the world, how far this has already gone. But it's not too late. It's not too late, because we work for God Almighty. And he likes to, you know, have it sprinkling before he seals up the ark. But it is time to get the mark of God in your heart and in your mind and start acting upon that so that he can run out and meet you halfway. In Revelation 13:17, and that no man might buy or sell save that he had that mark or the name of the beast, or, now this is not and, this is or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So you do this a lot of different ways. You got to have one of those things. Or you might not be allowed to buy or sell. A lot of people say, well, you can still buy or sell, and I've got... Well, no, no. You don't know what you got yet. So anyway, we'll go into some of that and some more of this and how this all fits together. But let's just look at some of the words here. And it says the words, and that no man... They're not translated from Odious, or which is translated 94 times, no man, or none, or times, or any man, some 6 times. Nor is it translated from Medius, which is translated no man some 32 times, and means nobody or no one. Nor did the author use the word euanthropos, meaning no man or no human. So the word that no is translated, that no is translated from hina me, which is translated that not 45 times, at least, or less, 43 times. And that no only about 6 times. Or even, albeit not, and so that not, once each. Man is translated from tis, which is an kind of an eclectic, indefinite pronoun, translated certain 104 times, some about 73 times, any man 55 times, any 37 times, one 34 times. They're using these combinations of Greek words to express certain ideas, and if we just flip around and say, well, we're going to translate this certain most of the time, but some of the time we're going to translate it some doesn't sound like certain, or any man, or any, or one, or man, or anything, or a certain man, why does it have to be translated so many different ways? There should be more consistency. But the fact is, they had an agenda. They already had an eschatology, and they're trying to fit these things into eschatology, and now you come along. And the fact is, words have multiple meanings, and they can mean more this way and that way. And translating from one language to the other is not an exact science. It's difficult. And it's hard not to bring in your own prejudices. This phrase is defined as a certain or a certain one, some time or a while. It would be becoming clear that many of these misconceptions, unsupported by the earlier text, are being propagated in the world today based on these personal prejudices. There are many specific statements and words used by the author or authors of the Bible that have been blurred, twisted, and distorted by modern versions of the text. Many are being misled by words like cause and no man. Will no one be allowed to buy or sell if they do not take the mark? The word man is not even in the original text. We may now see that the words of the author who used an indefinite pronoun to express, at best, that only certain or some would be excluded. And because of this exclusion or separation, they might die because they do not have the mark or the number of the beast or whatever. So, don't read too much into your translation or your personal interpretation. Understand that we're dealing with principles and precepts here. And if you step outside of that and try to figure that you're reading the rules to a Monopoly game and so that you can win at Monopoly, it's not going to work that way. Besides, even at Monopoly, it requires a roll of the dice. The phrase, had the mark, is from echo. It means to have, to have hold of, in the hand, in the sense of wearing, to have possession of. These are the definitions of the word. To have in one's own possession, an external thing, used of those joined to any one by the hands of natural blood or marriage being a contract, friendship, even duty or law. That's what they're talking about, had the mark. Those who think they have nothing to worry about as long as they do not take the chip implant appear to be completely deceived. To have the mark has nothing to do with the injection of a chip into your hand, but does clearly include the idea of membership joined by bonds in some sort of family, even though, with a single father, with duty and law binding you to this obligation, binding you to this benefit, and therefore to the service of he who provides the benefit. If you have to prove you are a member of that family, of the beast, with a special identification card or number, or else you will be excluded from some of the benefits of its commercialized marketplace, then that would meet the language of the author of Revelation. If government policy requires a numerical identifier to get a job, a bank account, a credit card, a debit card, a business license, a marriage license, even a driver's license, or the individual is excluded from the marketplace, then such exclusion by the political benefactors and commercial world might make survival difficult or even impossible in a time of deficiency and deficit and deprivation. Such exclusions are already law in the United States and many other countries as well. You say, well, where is that law? Well, the amazing thing is I can tell you exactly where that law is. It's in Title 42 of the United States Codes. Just go to Title 42 of the United States Codes and look down in the codes. Go down to section, I'm not kidding you. I'm not teasing you. I didn't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. You know, I know you're going to think conspiracy theories and all that stuff. But just go to Title 42, Section 666. And there you'll find it. Bill 532 of 1997, Part 1, document requiring Social Security numbers. That's right. Requiring Social Security numbers to obtain everything from a marriage license to a driver's license to a business license to anything. You have to have that. You can't get a job without it hardly. I mean, they could hire you, but nobody will. They're all afraid to. And then once you've got the number, now you're in debt because the system is in debt. Now you can't get rid of the number until you pay off the debt. And what are you going to pay it off with? You can't pay a debt with a note. Yeah, they got you. Your only salvation is Christ. And the only way you can find the salvation of Christ is not just say, Lord, Lord, but do the will of the Father. Start loving one another. Start caring for one another. Start looking to follow the path of Christ in the early church. Start taking care of one another and stop looking to the beast to take care of you. But you can't, most of you can't even stop looking to the beast. You just can't afford to. But you can start looking to the righteousness of God. And that's what we're told. That's where Christ started. He didn't start with come out of them, my people, lest ye be partakers of their sin. He started with seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's where he started. And that's where you need to go. And that's where you need to be. And if you don't want to go there, I can't help you. And all the knowledge of the world is not going to help you either. So you need to turn around. You need to try something completely different. So anyway, the word might is from dunami or dunamai, meaning to be able, have the power, whether by virtue of one's own ability and resources or of a state of mind or through a favorable circumstance by the permission of law or custom. You might. So anyway, we'll look at this some more next time on Keys to the Kingdom. Then we'll look at this in greater depth. Until then, spend this week thinking about repentance. Join us on the Living Network, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.